can't forget every time is to introduce ourselves so that we familiarize ourselves time and again, more and more. I'll start by introducing myself. My name is Pence Bande. I'm the chairperson of this committee. Originally, I'm from Mpumalanga province. Over to you, members.
Thanks, Chair. And good morning, everybody. I'm Bruisela Jacobs from the Free State and the Whip of the Committee.
Good morning, I'm Herman Groenewald, representing the Northwest Province and part of this committee.
Followed by the department.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mziwonge Dlabantu. I'm the Director General of the Department of Public Works. I'll ask my colleagues to introduce themselves.
Mandisa Fajela Lindi, the Chief Director, Strategic Management, Public Works.
Odwa Tia, I'm Director, EPWP Technical Support to Municipalities.
Good morning, my name is Kilebogile Sithibelo, Chief Director, EPWP Operations in the Department of Public Works.
Staff.
Good morning, Pilot Gwebu Committee Secretary.
Good morning, Shoaib, the Nation Content Advisor.
I'm Tsepo Makanye, the researcher for the committee. Thank you.
No, we didn't hear that.
Good morning, I'm Claudine Adams and I'm the committee assistant to the committee.
Yes, therefore I'll request everybody in the house, including PMG, to introduce itself. Before that. Thank you, Mama Temba, you are more than welcome. May you please introduce yourself before.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Priscilla Temba, representing Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces, a member of this committee.
Thank you very much. PMG and others.
Mr. Adam, PMG.
No, come closer to the mic, say. It won't bite you.
Mr. Abrams of PMG.
Good morning, I'm Michelle O'Connor from Area 24.
My name is Siyabonga Mkhwanazi from the New Age.
Thank you. Without wasting any time, honored members, we have received one apology, no, few apologies, not one. One apology is from Baba Umlenzana, who apologizes and says, I don't know what happened. And he's not feeling well. Then also, one of the DDGs who was admitted in hospital early this morning. And then I hope other members, I won't say anything, because here in this institution, we are sharing members. Maybe there are still members who are going to join us later. Therefore, without saying anything, I'll give it to the DG, maybe to start with the program of the day. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, and the honourable members of the committee. I would like to start by tabling apologies from the ministry. They are all
sorry, DG.
Committed.
May you please take the mic closer to you, please.
Okay. Apologies for the ministry. None of the staff members in the ministry will be able to be with us today. The minister himself and the deputy minister, they're engaged on other matters in Pretoria, including, I think, a visit by a minister from China, the minister from China. You have chair tabled the apology of DDG Anderson, who is in hospital. I also tabled the apology for the chief director who supports him, together with the lady who will be leading the presentation today. He is writing exams which were scheduled some time ago. Those are the apologies, Chair. I'm going to ask Ms. Sidivelo, yes, to lead the presentation, Chair. We have prepared the presentation in line with the correspondence that was issued by your office, Chair, in outlining how the discussion is to be structured. She will take us through that, and then I will be, together with the rest of the team, be able to respond to questions and comments that the committee members will make. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, DG, Chairperson of the Select Committee on Public Services and members of the committee. As the Department of Public Works, we were asked to reflect on the following: overview and progress on EPWP Phase 2, the data flow processes, and the provincial incentive agreement. The outline of the presentation is background and overview of EPWP, progress against the targets, the five-year targets, data integrity and data quality. Also, we are going to touch on the incentive grants to provinces and municipalities, and also the measures taken to ensure that low-capacity municipalities are able to access the incentive grant, an overview of municipalities accessing the EPWP incentive grant, and the impact of on beneficiaries of this program on beneficiaries. The goal of EPWP Phase 2 is to create 4.5 million work opportunities, and out of those, 2 million full-time equivalents need to be created for poor and unemployed people in South Africa, mm-hmm. so that we also can contribute to halving unemployment by 2014. What is important is that this should be done through the delivery of public and community services. EPWP supports public bodies from all spheres of government, that is national, provincial, and municipal spheres, in terms of their normal mandates and budget, and the non-state sector through government incentives to deliberately optimize the creation of work opportunities for the unemployed and poor people in South Africa. We also have to define what EPWP is. EPWP is a nationwide program that covers all spheres of government and state-owned enterprises. It aims to draw a significant number of unemployed, unskilled people into productive work so that they can increase their capacity to earn an income. While the EPWP provides an important avenue for labor absorption and income transfer to poor households in the short to medium term, it was not also designed as a policy instrument to address the structural nature of the unemployment crisis. We say it is a deliberate attempt by the public sector body to use expenditure on goods and services to create work opportunities for the unemployed. As public bodies deliver services, they need to also optimize on job creation. Projects usually employing workers on a temporary basis or on ongoing basis, either by government, by contractors, or by other non-governmental organizations. We use the Code of Good Practice for EPWP, or the Learnership Employment Conditions. And there are targets that have been set in this program. We are targeting women at 55%, young people at 40%, and people with disabilities at 2%. The sectors overview. We've got four sectors in the program. We've got the infrastructure sector, we've got the environment and culture sector, the social sector, and the non-state sector. In the infrastructure sector, we want to increase the labor intensity of government funded infrastructure projects so that we can optimize work creation. In the environment and culture sector, we create work opportunities in public environment and culture programs. We've got programs like Working for Water, and then we've got also the, now we've changed the model, it is the waste management program because people now are paid in cash and no longer using the footpath laws. In the social sector, we create work opportunities in public social programs. We've got your community health workers, your early childhood development practitioners, even the community safety program. Those are some of the social sector programs. The non-state sector, as government, we've collaborated with NGOs, CBOs, and faith-based organizations so that as they deliver their mandate, they also create work opportunities. We transfer the wage subsidy to these NGOs, and they focus on areas such as healthcare, childcare, and community safety. We also have the community work program that is located in the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, and this program targets localities and the community worker, community members determine the work in the local sphere. And in EPWP progress against target, we know that in terms of EPWP phase two, we are supposed to create 4.5 million work opportunities by the end of the fifth year, which ends on the 31st of March 2014. By the end of the fourth year, we had created 3 million work opportunities against the business target of 4.5, which represents 58% of the target at the end of the fourth quarter. In terms of the full-time equivalent, because we have to create 2 million full-time equivalent by the end of the term of EPWP phase 2, but we've created 868,974 full-time equivalent, which translates to 46% of the targets being achieved. This is because the project duration of work opportunities are generally shorter than anticipated. Considering the fourth quarter report of 2013-14 financial year, 93% of the expected target of 3.2 has been achieved. For the 12-13 financial year, by the end of the fourth quarter, we're at 941,592 against our target of 1.2 million. Our annual target for the last financial year was 1.2, and we're at 941,593, which is 78% in terms of performance. These are the work opportunities, year-on-year work opportunities, and that we need to create across the various sectors of EPWP. And this is just the diagram that just shows how we've performed in the last financial year at 941,593 against the 1.2 million work opportunities. If according to this, you can see that the social sector is the one that was just nearly achieved its target, because out of 187,000 work opportunities, there were 871. The environment and culture sector, 275 work opportunities, they achieved 244,112. The infrastructure at 572,000, they achieved 340,672. And then the NPO, the NGO sector, 70,400 work opportunities, they were at 45,99. The community work program overachieved its target. The target was 105,600, but then they achieved 144,538. And this is the infrastructure sector in provinces and municipalities. Slide 10 shows how the provinces have performed. The Eastern Cape, the target was 37,271. For the provincial target, at the end of the financial year last year, they were sitting at 51,826, at 139%. They overachieved their target. Free State underperformed, 16,151. They achieved 7,705. They were at 48%. Gauteng province also underachieved. They were supposed to create 34,984. they created 8,000 work opportunities at 23%. KZN also overperformed. The target was 49,000. They achieved 55,543. They were at 112 in terms of performance. Limpopo also underperformed at 31,668. That's the target. At the end of the financial year, they were at 7,908, 25%. Mpumalanga also, 17,548. At the end of the financial year, they were at 9,885, 56%. Northern Cape nearly achieved its target, 12,464. They were at 12,357 at 99%. Northwest also underachieved, 19,765. They were at 5,729 at 29%. Western Cape, the target was 15,693, and then they achieved 11,019. They were at 70%. Overall, in terms of provincial performance, the infrastructure is sitting at 72%. Going to municipalities, for Eastern Cape, the municipalities is a different case. When you look at province, it's performing very well, but the province, the municipalities are at 56%. Their target is 54,456. They were at 30,397. Free State still performing, underperforming in terms of municipalities, 22,234. They were at 4,388, 20%. Gauteng, 61,402 in terms of the target. They were at 29,047%. KZN municipalities also underperform, unlike the provincial sphere, 72,832. They were at 28,568 at 39%. Limpopo, 43,164. They were at 20,155, 47%. Mpumalanga, 24,922. They were at 9,608, 39%. Northern Cape, 8,957. They achieved 5,798 at 65%. Northwest still underperforming, 27,234, 6,548 at 24%. Western Cape, the municipalities are doing better because they achieved 89%, 21,974, and they achieved 19,497. Municipalities are not doing very well because they achieve 46% of their annual target. Overall, the infrastructure sector, when we combine municipalities and provinces, they are instead of 572,118 as a target, they are sitting at 324,043. That is 57% of the target. And then when you look at the infrastructure, environment and culture sector and the social sector, the three sectors in total, the work opportunities for provinces, when you combine the three sectors, Eastern Cape is sitting at 96%, 62,506, 60,249, that's the achievement, it's sitting at 96%. In Free State, still, when we take all the other sectors, the Free State is not performing very well. The target is 36,533, and they achieve 15,870 at 43%. Gauteng province also is not doing very well, 90,097. They achieve 38,422 at 43%. KZN, they've got the hugest target, the biggest target at 103,323. They achieve 82,490, 80%. Limpopo, 60,691. They are at 36,251. They are at 60%. Mpumalanga, when you bring all the other sectors of EPWP, they overachieved. They achieved their targets. They are at 39,234. They are at 40,016. Basically, because the environment and culture sector is doing very well in Mpumalanga, they were able to exceed the target. Northern Cape at 25,705. They are at 22,435, 87%. Northwest at 44,046 as a target. They achieved 22,014, 50%. Western Cape, 50,174. They achieved 25,184 at 50%. Provincial sphere overall is 67%. The municipalities, they achieved 69% when you bring all the sectors together. Like if you look at Eastern Cape, they achieved 76% of their target, Free State 47%, Gauteng 74%, KZN 47%. It means the municipalities in Gauteng are doing better than the provincial sphere. Limpopo 54%, Mpumalanga 70%, Northern Cape 99%, Northwest 47%, and Western Cape municipalities is 204%. Western Cape is doing very well. And then when you combine all the sectors in municipalities and provinces, you see that Eastern Cape is at 87%, Free State at 45%, Gauteng 55%, KZN 66%, Limpopo 57%, Mpumalanga 90%, Northern Cape 90%, Northwest 49%, and Western Cape has achieved its target at 100%. So overall performance of provinces and municipalities for the three sectors is 68%. These are the work opportunities per sector. The non-state sector, the community work program, they achieve 144,538 work opportunities. The environment and culture sector, 244,112. Infrastructure, 340,676. And the NPOs, 40,599. Social sector, 171,668. From the 1.2 million, we achieve 941. 593. The main causes for not meeting some of the targets in provinces, we know that there is lack of adequate technical capacity in public bodies to design and implement projects labor intensively, and also the issue of delays in implementing projects due to administrative delays like procurement delays in departments. And also we've noted that there's underreporting of EPWP work opportunities that are created on projects. What are the measures that are being taken to improve performance? What we've done as the Department of Public Works, we've deployed technical support to public bodies to assist public bodies to design so that they implement their project labor intensively. Much of the focus is on providing technical support to municipalities that lack that capacity. And we also have to ensure that we mainstream by reorientating courses on labor, because we offer courses on labor-intensive methods of construction, and these are being conducted in all provinces. And then public bodies are being provided with assistance to report EPWP work opportunities through data capturing support. We've deployed the data capturing support to public bodies at national, provinces, and municipalities. The issue of data quality, because we have to ensure that what comes on the system is the data that we can, as the department says, this is the information that is of good quality and there's integrity in terms of the data that's coming on the system. Mm-hmm. We emphasize good data quality because it is it's the evidence based on result orientated. We need to ensure that there's good data to inform the design of our interventions and also to monitor and evaluate the programs quantitatively towards their predetermined targets. Ultimately, as PEPWP, we are committed to accuracy of information for purposes of accountability and, more importantly, for use of quality data to improve programs. Ways to ensure that there is good data quality. Data from all public bodies is captured into the system as per the prescribed data fields and validation rules, because there are validation rules in the system. Validation rules are applied to the reported data during collation. Projects that do not pass the validation rules due to poor data quality, those projects are excluded from the final report. They do not go into the final report. In the cases where data is found not to be of poor quality, feedback is given to public bodies to implement corrective measures, because public bodies are to report on a month-to-month basis. So we interface with those public bodies where we find that there might be some data missing from the information that they provide to us. As EPWP Phase 2, EPWP Phase 2, we know that it introduced the incentive grant. The purpose of the EPWP incentive grant was introduced in EPWP Phase 2 to do the following: to reinforce and reward public bodies that actually implement employment-intensive methods and utilize their existing infrastructure allocations effectively to increase the labor content of infrastructure delivery. We encourage public bodies to meet their targets and also hold them accountable, because the incentive grant also talks about it has the accountability clauses on it. We also want to expand job creation rapidly. We also have to ensure there's increased employment intensity on infrastructure projects and also some of the environment and culture projects, because there are infrastructure projects there. Encourage more uniform wage structures. We also have to focus on the poor, marginalized rural areas and to the willing unemployed. Mainstream EPWP criteria and outputs with the core mandates and programs of implementing public bodies. The incentive grant, the EPWP incentive grant, integrated incentive grant, this incentive grant is provided to provinces and municipalities and is applicable to the infrastructure and the environment and culture sector. That is why we call it integrated incentive grant. The project implemented using the EPWP incentive grant in the infrastructure sector includes low volume roads, stormwater projects, sanitation projects, and building projects. The projects in the environment and culture sector, they include beautification projects, greening projects, and waste collection projects. In terms of the expenditure for the past financial year, that is the 2012-13 financial year, the provinces received 100% of their allocation. 100% was transferred to public bodies. The challenges experienced regarding the incentives is the low expenditure reports submitted by public bodies to the National Department of Public Works. As the department, we've been able to transfer to the public bodies because we receive the list of projects for them. Follow-ups have been made with different public bodies with low spending on the integrated grant. Withholding letters were also written to public bodies that were not complying with the requirements of the grant. Low expenditure in the different public bodies has been due to internal challenges faced by the public bodies, like delays in procurement that affect implementation of projects. We also have the social sector grant for provinces. It is also appropriated in the Division of Revenue Act. The social sector incentive grant wants to achieve the following, because we have to ensure that we service households and we support NGOs, because NGOs are mainly the implementing agents for the social sector. With this incentive grant, we're able to support 3,052 NGOs. And we also were able to pay the stipends to 11,925 beneficiaries. These are people that never received a wage in the past. They were called volunteers. Actually, they were people looking for employment and they were never employed. As a social sector, what was received was 217 million. And this was distributed to all the provinces. Eastern Cape received 22 million, Free State 23 million, Gauteng 41 million, KwaZulu-Natal 1.6, Limpopo 57 million, Mpumalanga 13 million, Northern Cape 2 million, Northwest 29 million, and Western Cape 24.7 million. Because this is a performance-based incentive, you see that the allocations are different, because there are also some standards and norms that are used to determine eligibility. If as a program or as a province you did not perform in the last financial year, then your incentive grant will go down. We've been asked why KwaZulu-Natal allocation is very low. Is because the province has not done very well in the last financial year in terms of the integrated incentive grant. And these are the departments that have benefited from the social sector grant to provinces, and the total amount was distributed. The departments, if I can mention the few that were that benefited, like in Northern Cape, we've got sports, recreation, arts and culture, so Northern Cape social development, Free State social development, Free State education, like Northwest sports, recreation, arts and culture, Gauteng health, Western Cape education and Western Cape community safety, Mpumalanga education. Also, we have safety and security in Mpumalanga in their community safety program. And the total payment to provinces was 100%. We've received reports from provinces. The spend in provinces was at 85.12%. But now we are waiting for the final reports, because we're waiting until the end of May to see the final reports, to see what's the actual expenditure. But when we did this report, we were sitting at 85%. And the performance of the social sector, that the total amount was transferred, that is 100%. There's no outstanding payment that still needs to be transferred, and that I've alluded to the 85% that was spent at provincial level, because we have to also monitor that. The integrated grant incentive to provinces in the 12-13 financial year, Eastern Cape, we transferred the entire amount, and then the expenditure at the end of the financial year on their side was at 90%. And then report on signing of incentive agreement by provinces, a total of 61 departments were sent agreements to be signed. To date, 38 departments have signed and returned the agreement to the department, which is 62% of the total protocols. This is for the current financial year. Northwest and Gauteng have the least number of protocol agreements signed by their participating departments. Northern Cape and Western Cape participating departments are the only departments that have signed all their protocol agreements, both at provincial and municipal spheres. Others, you find that the municipal has signed and submitted, but the provinces have not submitted all their agreements. In terms of the EPWP integrated grant to provinces, last year Public Works disbursed 90% and 100% and 90% of the grant has been spent by the end of March. Full expenditure of this grant was not achieved in the Free State, Gauteng, Northern Cape, Northwest and Western Cape provinces. They did not spend their entire allocation. Full expenditure has not been achieved by the public bodies because of the delays in the implementation of projects. I think we've talked about that. Municipalities, that was provinces. These are municipalities. Municipalities also in 2013-14, 100% was distributed to municipalities by Public Works across all provinces. But when you look at the expenditure in the municipal sphere, Eastern Cape has spent 49%, Free State 54%, Gauteng 44%, KwaZulu-Natal 38%, Limpopo 58%, Mpumalanga 65%, Northern Cape 68%, Northwest 68%, Western Cape 78%. So Western Cape is the highest province that has spent most of its budget. The expenditure in municipalities is at 53%. By the end of the financial year. This is just the narrative of what I've alluded to, that the expenditure at municipal level is at 53%. The expenditure of the municipalities varies across the different provinces, and that Western Cape is the highest spending province. Municipalities in Western Cape use their money. The worst expenditure is by municipalities in KZN at 38%, mainly due to poor reporting on the expenditure. But this should not happen because we know the issues of poverty and unemployment in those rural municipalities. So we are doing follow-ups to make sure that the public bodies provide the reports. For 2013, in 2012-13, the municipalities that were eligible for the incentive were 246. And in this current financial year, the municipalities that are eligible for the incentive are standing at 274%. Basically, there has been an increase. So a lot of municipalities are uptaking the incentive, though the reporting still remains a challenge. And the total budget for this current financial year is 610.674 million. And then what are the measures that are taken to ensure low capacity municipalities also access the incentive grant? We are running training workshops on employment-intensive methods. Municipal officials are trained on design, implementation, monitoring, and reporting on employment-intensive projects. There are roadshows held on the integrated incentive in provinces. Roadshows are held in all provinces. The items covered include eligibility requirements. They need to understand conditions of the grant and the reporting requirements, because that's where there is a challenge. Municipalities and public bodies do not report on time, and that's a serious challenge. And then we also do project visits, and so that we conduct compliance on EPWP and that they comply to the Division of Revenue Act. And that in all provinces, we also go to provinces to monitor compliance and to provide implementation advice. A total of 887 projects being implemented in municipalities were visited. Of these projects that were visited, 526 were in the infrastructure sector, while 361 were in the environment and culture sector. And the information is verified on site, and this includes the number of work opportunities, passing days of work, as well as branding. We also look check compliance to the ministerial determination. We also look at attendance registers so that we verify that these are legit beneficiaries. We look at the employment contracts, and we also look at the payment registers so that we verify that the beneficiaries were indeed paid. Information on location of project include geocoding. We also do geocoding. An additional capacity was also appointed to provide support to municipality. Service providers were also appointed to complement Public Works Technical Support Team in supporting municipalities in November 2012. With additional resources, more municipalities will be covered, and each and every municipality will get more focused attention. EPWP 2 and beyond, what is the strategy going forward? We need to ensure that we consolidate the EPWP programs so that we ensure that there is improvement in terms of reporting. We expand the number of public bodies participating in delivering EPWP activities. We improve on the labor intensity of the existing programs, expand the size and scope of the existing programs. We also profile, package and promote existing projects so that we can then share best practices with other public bodies so that they can see that these programs can be replicated. And also our flagship non-state sector program is doing very well. And the impact, because we are asked to also reflect on the impact, because these are not just numbers, these are people working on the ground. The EPWP and Evaluation and Incentive and Research Unit continuously conduct studies as per their monitoring and evaluation framework. The studies include process evaluation, which examines the efficiency and effectiveness of the program implementation process, impact evaluation to determine the impact of the program on beneficiaries, and impact on the program in reducing unemployment. These are the stories from the beneficiaries, if we may share with them, with the committee. The beneficiaries have said, I've gained a lot of life skills as a breadwinner. I can take care of my family, including orphans. I became more responsible as a citizen and husband. I'm now capable of doing things for my family that I couldn't do before, like paying school fees. I was able to build myself a proper house, a brick house, so that my family could be protected from the rain. With the money I get from EPWP, I managed to build up a two-room brick house and moved out of shack. Enkosi, EPWP. Others have said, I didn't have a job for many years, but now I'm working as a carer and getting experience on how to deal with people's health programs in their homes. I have a certificate, and I'm going to use it in future when I'm looking for another job, as I am also gaining experience in the program. Others have articulated that they managed to buy deep freezers, you know, things that we take for granted, and they were able to open a small business and sell meat in the township, so there are those spin-offs. Others have indicated that they've been able to buy TV so that they can see what is happening in the world. These are the others have opened bank accounts for the first time in their lives. A 59-year-old indicated that now I have a bank account. These are stories in page 38. These are a lot of stories. And the community impact, if I can go to slide number 40, we know that roads are being constructed and that taxis are able to come even if it's raining in the locality. The community is clean and people are no longer getting mugged because we are cutting grasses and bushes. The crime rate has reduced in our community. This is through the environment and culture sector. Chairperson, thank you. This is from the EPWP program.
Thank you very much. Any addition? If none, therefore I'll request the committee to start to interact with the presentation. Members, this is the opportunity that I allow you to start ask questions. Mama Temba, followed by Honourable Member Jacobs, followed by Honourable Member Groenewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. Even though there's a lot of information that we need in your presentation, for example, I'll start with the beneficiaries, the impact of EPWP on beneficiaries, to say, you know where these people are. We don't know. And as public representatives, you know, it will be an opportunity for us when we go to provinces. If you say this one was in Nepro, maybe in my constituency, I'll make sure that I go there and talk to the people and also hear from them so that others can also do the same. And also on municipalities, I think page 31, slide number 31, municipality officials trained on design implementation. You know, I think you should be specific. Yes, you should be which municipalities maybe, and then also on the grants to municipalities, 100%. Which municipalities are those?
Thank
slide number 29 also, we really need more information on that. Because if we say we're going to go for oversight, if you say this this municipality didn't do well, but if you really are specific and tell us Mbombela, we know that we are really going to go to Mbombela and find out what is the problem, why didn't they do well. So this is the information that we need. If you don't have it now, because I think there's a lot of work that is needed here. If you don't have it now, you can send it to the chairperson, to the secretary. And on the provinces that didn't sort of perform well, can you clarify to us what was their problem? Have you tried to find out why didn't they do well? And I see on the Western Cape, you see, the Western Cape, I think you said it twice or if not thrice, that it did very well where it did 78%. If also there, if you can tell us where they did well and where they didn't do well, we must also, not only Western Cape, but all the provinces, where they didn't do well, we must find out what is the problem, so that when we do oversight, we are able to also, understand what is the problem and how can the department assist for them to do well. And there is this grant that you spoke about on volunteers that were paid. If you, social grant. If you can clarify us on that, because sometimes you find you are in your constituency and then people will say, I've been volunteering for so many years and nothing, I don't get anything. So can you elaborate on that, how you do that? Thanks.
Honourable Member Jacobs.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and also thanks for the presentation. Chair, you know, this concept of EPWP, it's good, but I don't know, it is value for money. Because we are pumping millions to provinces, millions to municipalities. And the concept, it is to alleviate poverty, to give skills to people. Do they really get the skills that we are talking about? And also, we are saying we are creating so many jobs. And also, it's an issue that we have always been saying, these are temporary jobs. And after that, what happens to those people? Look, I'm thinking public works. It is the department we should be giving people jobs. For instance, we are responsible for maintaining government buildings and upgrading them. And what you do, you give this to contractors in the private sector. You don't have units in your own departments that can do that. And I think this money could cover that. The money that you are pumping for EPWP could cover for that and give people decent jobs, permanent and decent jobs. But the way it is just like we are Father Christmas and then we are just giving people millions and millions and millions. For instance, you are pumping money to provinces. Others are underperforming. And others, you don't even know their programs. Because what we want now, as a Free State, as I'm coming from, if you say we have pumped so much to education, to health, to social development, I need to see that program so that I should compare with what is happening in the Free State.
And also, if the the province is underperforming, I think it will be our duty as a select committee to call the head of departments in those provinces so that they must come account and account. Because as it is, you are just giving money, you say you are making a follow-up, you are doing that. To me, it's just a paperwork to satisfy ourselves that, no, we are doing the work. But down on the ground, I don't think this is actually happening. And also, you are saying you are giving money to the municipalities. As Honorable Temba said, which are those municipalities? Because if you are saying you are giving money to municipalities, mention those municipalities and you also mention what have they done with that money. So that when we go back, we are able to go there and see that this has actually happened in this municipality. And also, you are just giving money without even having programs. If somebody apply for a money, you just send that money and say no, you'll give a report afterwards. Because I think the money should be given according to what they have presented to you, the program that they have presented to you, so that you should be able to monitor and say, this is the program that you have given us, this is what you have done, this is where you are lacking, and this is how we can assist you. But as it is, the money, that's why I'm saying, we are just like for a Christmas, because the other issue that I want, you are giving this money to municipalities, to provinces, but when you go there, these people are not given skills. There is this job of saying, they are giving people job for 3 months, they are just sweeping the streets and so on. So they say that is EPWP. You'll find them, they have bought them overalls, they're just sweeping in the streets. And now, right, they're giving them jobs, but where are the skills? You're sweeping the skills. When you sweep the skills, is that the skills that people should be able to obtain? And these people who are saying, at last I've done this, I've bought this, I've done this, maybe it's for 3 months, and after that it's gone. So For me, I think we need to come up with another strategy. Mm. We need to come with another strategy because we can take care of this as a department by itself, which can give jobs and utilize that money to the benefit of these people. But as it is, we are just like Father Christmas. Mm. Thanks.
Member Groenewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I totally agree with Honorable Jacobs. Everything you've said, I agree with, and a lot of these things were coming up when I asked questions as well. On slide 7, I'll start there. I can't believe what is written on this page, because that is totally not what the president said in his open remarks about job creation and how many people are without jobs. If you are looking in from 2004 to 2008, a lot of people, you also said we reach our targets in that period. That is millions of jobs. And my question is there, how many of these people employed at that stage are still in the workforce? You're talking about creating jobs for more than a million people. And what I want to know is how many of these people are still in have a job. Otherwise, we are wasting our time and money to help people, and that is not sustainable. The main thing for me is sustainable jobs. To give people for 3 months a job, it's no job. You help him out for a while. There's no planning in his life, nothing, because it's only for 3 months, and then he sits out of a job again. If you are looking here, considering the fourth quarter report of the 2012-13 financial year, 93% is the expected target, and that means 3.2 million people will have jobs, and then you said that they have achieved. I can't agree with that. If you are looking into our workforce at this stage, how many millions of people sit out without any jobs? I can't go with that figures. I don't believe it. That is not right. I want to know, what are the EPWP program done in these times, since 2004 up to now, in our rural areas. That is where the people, and I said it in every meeting, that is where our people is suffering. The most of our people in our provinces live in our rural areas, and that people are suffering. And I can't see that we really do something in that area. You talk about the municipalities and the inputs, and you give us percentages and that kind of thing. But the money is not getting really to the people on the ground. I'm worried about that, and that is a lack of management. I don't think the municipalities have really the expert to help people and manage people to get to let the people that let the money get to the right people who want to do something. Entrepreneurs. That is why where we must start it and help our people to see that they can uplift their lives. Management is a problem, and underperformance is a problem. And you said that, and then I want to know, in my province, Northwest province, what is the problem with the Northwest performance at all on page 11 and 13? I'm worried about that. Why are these people not performed? Something must be wrong there. You mentioned a few of these things, but it's not in depth. You just give us an overall picture regarding that. I want to know what exactly is the problem. And Maribeng municipality, we were there with our oversight. Nothing is going on there. There's no a single project who's successful. The stores is falling apart. There's no people there, but there's a fence, and that's all. And then they said that the stores. And so I can, and millions of rand is going into that. Fell farms. There's a resort for the public. Millions of rand is pumped in that area. Nothing is going on there. Nothing. I want to know what happened to that money. How do you manage it and engage these things to see that there's progress? What are you doing from your department side? You know there's a lot of roads. There are roads allocated for this type of jobs. And nothing happened on that road. It is full of potholes and the money is there. There's a culture village. It's set in 2004-8. The grass is like this. And there's only a fence around it. And I think it is 8 million rand is spending there. And now there's fighting because the chiefs and I do not know what exactly is going on there. But the money is wasted. It is public money. It is taxpayers' money. Vegetable gardens all over South Africa. You see these tunnels. They're only nice and smart when they put it up. The next year, it is falling apart. And then you put 10 people in there and say they must start farming. And at the end of the day, they fight with each other because there's no management. There's no people who give them the necessary skills, and it's falling apart. And millions of rand is down the drain. Then we must start it again. So this final report you have at the end, it's only for a few people. Maybe 2 or 10 people in a province is making a success of it. The other 100 or 200 or 300 people is down the drain. Thank you, Jay.
Okay. Before you respond, I wanted to say thank you very much, maybe for you to come and give us this briefing. But nevertheless, we are there to interact with it. Also, you see, what is worrying me is that yes, somewhere there you indicated that you do have an data, all the stuff. But I wanted to find out, is your system able to speak to each other? Because to have a data, while the system doesn't talk to each other, that is a cause of a problem. Because the advantage of the system to speak to each other is for you to detect very urgent that there is a red light somewhere there. And then also, somewhere in your presentation you spoke about the interaction with the municipalities. Really, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm not sure. But if you may elaborate proper, in details, how do you interact with the municipalities? Because the municipalities were informed that they are accounting to COCTA. And then I wanted to find out what is your relationship with NYDA. Because most of youth is there. In the past, most of people, they were saying, hey, it's very difficult to start with this program because beneficiaries are there waiting for you to come. And then also with the Department of Labor. Labor is having a data of the people of unemployed. What is your relationship? How often do you interact with these institutions? And then another thing, what I wanted to find out is that, which is worrying me, I saw you gave us, what is worrying most of the members, you gave us these big numbers that women on page 5 and also on page 7, you gave us these opportunities, which is worrying, you know. I was checking the number of pages which you gave us about these graphs, that so many, I mean from page 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, from 8 up to 12, most is graph. Then also on what the people said, you know, to me is worrying. This is also goes with the thing which was raised by my colleagues. Oh, graph also is coming on page 20, 21, you know. Most of the chunk of the pages which is there doesn't talk on what we were expecting so much. We need more information. As Honorable Mama Temba indicated, that we are basically from the provinces. We belong to constituency offices where we're supposed to go back and report back so that we know exactly that in specific province what is happening. And the issue of, you know, there is a page, I can't remember which page, which you spoke about learnership. It's worrying me, you know. Yes, it's page 5. You see, on page 5, bullet point number 2, where you spoke about projects and issue of learnership, employment condition. You see, I think it was going to assist to empower the people who are taking them on learnership programs so that when they come back, they will be equipped for full-time work, unlike the temporary works or projects which are talking about. And then another thing, your relationship with the House of Traditional Leaders, why I'm raising it. Our municipalities, most of them in the rural areas, the key players are traditional leaders. How often do you communicate with them? Because some projects, they can't start without them. You must involve them. Or even the community wanted to start something, they must go to the chief and ask that, hey, Baba Stella in Dao is also to start this. Where is poultry or is what? How often do you meet with them? And then let me leave it there. And then what is worrying me is, I mean, in your this introduction of EPWP incentive grant focus on poor marginalized rural, on page 17, rural areas and willing unemployment is worrying me. Really is worrying me. Because I'm from those particular areas. And what exposes whether the things which we are raising are equal to the task or not, it's your own presentation which says, which measures the performance of the provinces, that these provinces on the on the municipal level, they didn't take grant, they didn't perform well, national perform well, because another thing, how do you continuously give the province or the municipalities who didn't perform well incentives? I'll put my case there. Now let's go to the second round. Let's give them an opportunity to respond.
Chairperson, thank you, and members. I think we do an analysis on a quarterly basis on the performance of the sectors, and there we do a thorough analysis where we say this is the environment and culture sector. These are the programs in the sector. These are the departments that participate in the sector. We know we've got the Department of Environmental Affairs. We've got the Department of Tourism. We've got the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Then we look at the programs. Like, for example, from our Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we look at the Landcare Grant and to say how was it dispersed, which provinces benefited, and which projects have been implemented. So we do an analysis. We also look at the programs that are not performing. For example, we know that for now, the Working for Energy is not coming on board. So we've engaged them, the Department of Mineral Resources, because the Working for Energy program is our weakest link. When you go to provinces and you look at the social sector, it will also tell you the departments, the programs that are implemented, your home community-based care, your early childhood development, your ECD program. But then that report, if we were to put everything here, it's going to be very detailed. But we can provide that information to say, in terms of the programs and the projects in provinces, this is how they are performing, because we do an analysis, a very detailed analysis on a quarterly basis. In terms of impact, to say where are these people, what is it that they are doing, that analytical report has got that information, because we can say in Northwest, in terms of the home community-based care, we've got so many people in this program. Northwest will provide that information. In terms of municipalities, my colleague will reflect the municipalities that are benefiting out of the incentive, and it will reflect both rural and your metro that are benefiting from the incentive, because we do have information on that. In terms of the volunteers, the 11,923 volunteers that we have, we can provide the information to say Eastern Cape, Northwest, Gauteng, you know, all these Mpumalanga, Limpopo, how many volunteers were paid through the program, because we do not only look at the volunteers. We say how many households were also serviced. You find that with 11,923 volunteers, we are able to service over 100,000 households. So that information we can always provide, Chairperson. The issue of value for money, because this is an employment program, we are criticized in the first phase to say you've got too many objectives, because this is a public employment program. If the program, if you are going to be focusing, if you are going to give information, because we had skills in the first phase, if you remember, we had skills, we had looking at skills, we were looking at enterprise development, exit opportunities. And we're saying you are measuring a lot of objectives. What is EPWP about? It is a public employment program. So we are looking at employment figures. But what we are saying is that in the next phase, maybe what we need to look into is the socio-economic impact and benefits. Because when you look at the Working for Water program, they will tell you how many water have we released. In terms of alien vegetation, we've cleared so many alien trees, and this is the benefit in terms of maintaining our natural resources. forestry operations, they will give us the statistics. So that information, they do not report it in the EPWP, but they will report it in their program in terms of performance. So I think going into phase three, these are things that we need to look into when we do our reporting to say, do we also want the information on the, you know, the outputs, the deliverables of the program to be reflected so that when we present the report, we are able to present both the figures, employment figures, and also the impact on the ground. With transport, transport will be able to say, in terms of access roads, we've been able to, you know, touch so many roads. So that information, they do not report on us, but they do have that program information. Maybe these are things that we need to do. Yes, in terms of public works and maintenance of state buildings, I think as public works we've agreed that, you know, in terms of maintaining our buildings, we need now to start reporting on that. Maybe also my colleague Order will then reflect on that, because we've got an agreement with our counterparts in regions to say they need to start reporting on the work opportunities that are created by the Department of Public Works. We agree that the nature of our projects in some cases are very short term. In some of the cases, they are longer term. When you look at the home community-based care, this is the service that needs to be provided to communities on a long-term basis. When you look at your early childhood development, children are in the ECD center for the whole year. So there are those that are very short-term and those that are longer-term. But in EPWP phase two, what we said was that at least we need to ensure that the duration of the project is over 100 days. That is why we are talking about full-time, so that there's impact, because you cannot employ a person for 2 months, and because where does this person go back? This person goes back to poverty. So those are the things that when we redesign phase three, we are looking into it, and we've received such criticism. In terms of tracking of beneficiaries, we try tracking our National Youth Service beneficiaries, because those are the beneficiaries that are employed by the Department of Public Works. They are given skills in terms of construction, plumbers, painters, your carpenters. So we are saying, where are these people going into? Maybe these are the people, once we've trained them, they can go into our workshops as public works and start maintaining our buildings, because we've given them skills, so that at the end of the day we reduce the contracting in the department, because we are taking young people, equipping them with skills, and at the end of the day these are people that need to go into the workshops that we are resuscitating as the Department of Public Works. In terms of reporting, we do cumulative reporting. You know, it's not time sliced. It's reporting from 2009 to this is second phase to up to the 31st March 2013. As the public bodies, because as public works, we coordinate information. We deal with a lot of departments. Social sector, we know with the departments that participate in the social sector, environment and culture sector, the NGOs, we've got about 39,000 benefiting out of this program in the NGO program. We will indicate the number of projects that they are undertaking anyway. So that analytical report we provide, Chair, but I think we will be able to do that. Northwest specifically, Northwest in terms of EPWP is our weakest link. The only sector that is very strong in Northwest that's been able to achieve its set deliverables is the social sector, because the coordination methods, the coordinating structures there are well oiled. But when we look at the other sectors, those are the weakest link. We've engaged the HOD of the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, because they are supposed, for example, to coordinate the environment and culture sector. They've not been coming to the table. So our DDG went to meet with the HOD that's responsible for EPWP coordination in Northwest to say, as a province, we are not stepping up. you know, and you need to contribute to job creation. Because we are saying, as a department, job creation should be part and parcel of the agenda of the ex-tech meetings in provinces, because then you hold the HODs accountable. If that's not the case, then it becomes a problem. And the municipalities, currently what has been said is that there are these district forums in municipalities. The district forums now, when you look, the uptake of the incentive from municipalities have increased because of the district forums. As public works, we are asked, what is your role? What we do, we assist municipalities first to develop their EPWP policies, and many municipalities have done that. After developing the policies, they will indicate the programs. And we encourage municipalities to appoint EPWP champions in municipality, because if there's no EPWP champion, then it becomes a problem, because there is no one who's responsible. People will say, you know, I'm doing this. Even in Northwest, they will say, it's social workers that have to report on EPWP. But they still have other duties. They still have to go and attend cases, you know, at court. They have to do this and this and this. And there is no one responsible. So what we are encouraging is that for these public bodies, there must be an EPWP champion, because if there is no EPWP champion, then it becomes a problem. What we've seen in municipalities is that municipalities do not report on the other sectors. Social sector is the weakest link, followed by the environment and cultural sector. The infrastructure is there, but you find that EPWP is coordinated from the program management unit, and the person there will report on the infrastructure-related projects, whereas there are other projects being implemented, and then there is a reporting. With the National Youth Development Agency, Chair, we have signed now a memorandum of understanding with the National Youth Development Agency as the Department of Public Works, where we are saying, you deal with young people. We want you to bring young people. And we are dealing, we also have the community constituency that sits in our program management team, where there's representation from the youth sector, the women sector, and also from the disability sector to say, please, let's work with you to ensure that young people are on board. As we are sitting today, Chair, the agreement has been signed, but what we are doing, we are looking at the programs now. We are going to allocate the work opportunities, and NYDA will then implement their project using EPWP money that we are allocating to them. I must say our interaction with the Department of Labor, I must say that's the weakest link. We have not really engaged them, because they will give us the database of the unemployed people. I think that's where we need to improve. In terms of the learnership and exit, we've seen other programs like your tourism project. They will have the chefs. They train young people as chefs. You see they have the EPWP logo. And this is a sector where we find that there's absorption of these people. Once they are trained, the hotels are able to absorb them. So this is what we want to see happening, but not all programs are able to do that. We have had success stories when we had the summit in Northwest, where some caregivers were telling us that now I'm a professional social worker because I've done counseling. But I think we need to provide information in such a way that you are able to understand it, and it's more qualitative, because once it's quantitative, because you're complaining about the graph, it becomes a challenge. And also we note that we need to engage then the House of Traditional Leaders. Chair, I think I will give over to my colleagues, who can then provide information on municipality.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be projecting the numbers that the committee was looking for in terms of the municipalities that are eligible for the grant. We will provide this information. It's not that clear on the board, on the projected. In Eastern Cape, all the municipalities are eligible for the grant, 45 municipalities. In Free State, we had 22 out of 23. It was only Pumalela municipality that was not eligible in 12-13 financial year. In GP, all 12 municipalities were eligible. In KZN, we had 36 out of 61 municipalities that were eligible, but that has changed in 13-14 because we have only 4 municipalities in KZN that are not eligible for the grant. Then in Limpopo, we got 30 municipalities that are eligible for the grant. In Mpumalanga, all 21 are eligible for the grant. Northern Cape, we had 26 out of 32 that were eligible for the grant. In Northwest, we had all municipalities eligible for the grant. And lastly, in Western Cape, we had all 30 municipalities eligible for the grant. In the 13-14, it's only the 4 in KZN that are not eligible for the grant. So we have 274 municipalities that are eligible for the grant out of the 278 municipalities. We will provide you with this information, the detail of this information, including the allocations that these municipalities have. Just a quick one on training. We trained municipal officials in 11-12 financial year. We trained them on NQF level 5, labor-intensive methods of construction, and we had 972 officials that were trained in NQF level 5, and we had 222 officials that were trained in NQF level 7. NQF level 5, it deals with the management of labor-intensive construction sites. How can you manage that site if you're using labor-intensive methods? And then NQF level 7 deals with the design or putting systems in place for a labor-intensive project. So this is how we train them in terms of that training. In total, we had about 1,212 municipal officials that were trained in 11-12. What is currently happening is that we got a turnover in municipalities. Officials are moving around. You'll find that whoever that was trained in that municipality is no longer there, of which is something that we're trying to establish as to what is happening with these municipalities and these officials, because it's something that we need to continue to do continuously, so that we make sure that these labor-intensive methods are being applied when they are implementing their projects. Now, another thing I want to add is, in terms of infrastructure, the program was designed such that public bodies or municipalities are using the MIG funding to implement EBWP projects. And through that, we have seen the problem out of that, because municipalities are not performing well on the MIG. Just zooming into Northwest, we had a meeting, actually COCTA, DCOC, called a meeting that was just end of May, where municipalities had to present as to how are they going to expedite the expenditure on MIG, which directly affects the program, EPWP, because part of the conditions of the implementation of MIG, it says big projects should be implemented using EPWP guidelines. Now, at that stage, end of May, they were sitting at 49% of the MIG allocation, and they've got only a month to go to finish off that allocation, of which is impossible. We won't be performing in terms of that. We are meeting with COCTA. We just had a meeting now about 2 weeks back with COCTA National, where they're trying to see how best they can try and assist municipalities to expedite that implementation of MIG, which is something that we want to concretize so that relationship with MIG and municipalities is solid, such that we see the effects of them using that MIG and talks to the numbers that they report as municipalities. In terms of the engagements that we have with municipalities, we have district forums that are in place. We got sector forums that are in place. We do schedule meetings with municipalities to see them. Part of the problem that we picked up, wherever we call a workshop, whether it's an incentive workshop where we need to talk about how you're supposed to comply with the DORA using the grant, we don't get the correct people that are supposed to receive this information for the implementation of the grant. It's something that we're trying to address so that we get the right people, the CFOs who are supposed to manage this grant that we give to municipalities, the MMs that are supposed to make sure that it happens within municipalities, and the mayors that are supposed to make sure politically EPWP is mainstreamed within municipalities. In Free State, we have these forums, and they have a forum just 2 weeks ago in Fezidedab, where they were discussing reporting on EPWP, reports on the incentive grant. They were talking about policies, EPWP policies. They were talking about the feedback and the incentive monitoring. They were talking about signing of the new agreements for the new financial year of the incentive grant. These are the things that we've been put in place to try and assist municipalities to comply with the program. I think that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Did you?
Thanks, Chair.
sorry. She should have.
Thanks, Chair. I think the presenter did make reference to the next phase that we conceptualize with regard to EPW. Some of the issues that have been raised are being considered under that. We had...
Sorry, DJ. Bring your mic closer to you so that it can help you.
I'm saying some of the comments that have been made regarding the qualitative aspects of an EPW program that would deliver directly as the sum of the jobs that are required, probably more sustainable, related to, for example, our maintenance program are being considered. We had over time, unfortunately, lost and to some extent depleted our workshops, for example, that we would use directly to do some of these functions. In the current year, we are working on bringing back two of those workshops in the two regions that we have prioritized as part of the pilot in order to then upscale it after we've had discussions with Treasury, because it's going to have an impact, significant impact on how we structure the whole budget for DPW going forward once we have done that. The workshop in Western Cape and the one in Pretoria and Durban, we are working on those three so that then we can determine exactly what we require, what kinds of artisans, what levels of skills, including being run by qualified engineers and professionals. Then after that, then we will work on extending it to the rest of the country. Unfortunately, we had almost depleted almost all of that capacity. We have to build it very carefully, because you're not going to get all the skills at the same time that we will require. But that is for those three, we're aiming at having them up and running by the end of this year. People are already working on structuring them. We will be having some of those discussions as part of our engagements with National Treasury as we restructure the budget. I think to some extent, Chair, that we hope that will deliver the direct jobs that we can derive, which are going to be almost a longer term than just the smaller jobs, the short-term jobs that we're producing in the current program. Chair, we'll be looking at other reforms that are possible within that within those discussions, and I think a first draft is, we expect to have it by the end of
the month, and then we will build on it using all the inputs that we are getting until we have fully conceptualized the phase three approach that we'll use. It's not everything that exists is going to be done away with, but at least we'll be adding some of those aspects that have been indicated, trying to rebalance and reducing the outsourcing of areas that we think should not be outsourced in order to maximize jobs, which would then be directly falling under either public works or some of the departments that have those things. We have identified a number of services that we want to discuss with departments in order for them to directly employ the staff that should be delivered instead of outsourcing them en masse. Thanks.
Honourable members, I wanted to give you a last round, but before I give you a last round, I want to comment something. Teaching, I'll come after as well. There was a thing which I've asked from you, that are your system able to talk to each other? Yes, we agree that you do have any data, but your systems, are they talking to each other? For an example, when we visit some of the offices, you find that sometimes even the systems are not talking to each other. But because I don't think it's proper for us maybe to say we depend on going to the area each and every time. No. Right, second round, I'll come with other questions. Not before, I will give you opportunity to respond. Note it down there. Honourable Member Kroonewald, followed by Ubaba Ujacobs, followed by Umama Utemba. Ubaba Kroonewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've had a couple of things I want to mention to the department, and they can respond on it if they are aware of it or not. Sorry. The first thing is in Moses Kotane, that's also, I'm talking about the Northwest Province now. Moses Kotane, Makwasi, is the municipality there, and then Hammanskraal, close to the carousel. There we have this big factories. I do not know if you're aware of it. Huge factories. It is not utilized. That was in the time of Bobota Tswana. The factories is just there, and no one is using it. And if they are using it, it is only a small part of it. So the most of that factories is for nothing there. And I think we can put people in there, entrepreneurs, to start with something. Why are that huge building standing there, blocks and blocks of them, and they are not utilizing? So I think we must have a serious investigation into that from the department side to see how can we use it and for that communities. Because in the past that factory was used by someone and now it's empty. I do not know why, I do not know what's the reason. And I think we can benefit out of it for that communities a lot. You mentioned nurseries. I think that is one of the things we can make a huge impact when we set up a nursery in a municipality, a big one, because we have the money and all the money is wasted. But that is a useful thing. Each and every one want to plant a tree or something at his home. So we can start with a big nursery and spread it to the communities and put a well-trained, skilled person in charge. Where he can help the community distribute fruit, small plants, and they can plant it at home. Now we've had these tunnels, people fight with each other, and at the end of the day, nothing is happening. And when each and everyone have his own garden, getting the plants and things from the nursery, it will help. So we immediately have a skilled person there, and we have a big nursery where we can distribute it from in a community or in a municipality, and we create jobs at the end of the day. A lot of jobs, because someone must do the planting and someone must look after these things. That is an easy way to do it, and you've got one person who is a manager, not 10 people who want to manage a tunnel, and then the fighting starts. So I think there's a lot of opportunities. We must just go and sit and think about it and we can make a success of it. And then the last thing, Chairperson, is if you have these workshops with municipalities, I think if they not attend the meeting, they can't qualify for a grant. As easy as that. And then they will send the relevant people to the workshops so that we can see that the right people get the information and the way they are distributing the money at the end of the day. But to sit there with people without knowledge, that is a problem from the beginning. So I think stop the grants to the municipalities if the relevant people are not interested to attend that meetings. Thank you.
Honourable Member Jacobs.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I don't know whether that issue of programs, it was responded to, because we had said we needed to have programs. If you say you have allocated so much to a province, we need to have that program so that we must be able to check whether that money is being utilized to the benefit of the program that has been given. But here, Chair, I'm still not convinced that Public Works should give grants to both social development, both education, both health. For instance, for health caregivers, for ECDs, purposes, and so on. But if it was for infrastructure, that I would understand. But if you say you're going to train for caregivers, for teachers, for ECD, I don't think that is your mandate. Your mandate, it is to provide the infrastructure to the departments, or to maintain and so on. I'm still not convinced on that one. Why do you give this money to... Because at the same time, you have said the reports, they report it to their own departments. They don't give the reports to you as public works, whereas you have provided that money to those departments. This one of MIG, I think here we are having a problem. Unless we address the issue of capacity in municipalities, these municipalities will always underperform. Because if they don't have the personnel which has the capacity, how are they going to spend? I think when you meet with COCTA, I think it should be a matter of emphasis on that one, that they need to fast-track the employment of people with skills who have the capacity to do the jobs. Just like, as you're saying, procurement. If they don't have the staff who's efficient on procurement, how are they going to give people tenders and so on? And if they don't have engineers, how are they going to plan and all that? So the only thing that is going to do that is if they have the capacity. But I think also this, what has been said by Honorable Groeneveld, that is, if the person, they don't have the capacity, why do you give him money? Let him have the capacity and then you can supply him with the money. But you just give them the money and the money comes back. And from there we say we have not performed and we have underutilized. I think that's very key, that we need to restrict.
Honourable Mama Temba.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to congratulate the DG with the 50-50 delegation. I think he heard us last time when we said we don't want a men's league. But on a serious note, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at these issues when you are talking, to say, I want to ask the department whether they have the gender focal point. And if you have it, the gender focal point, because you're mentioning all these departments that you are working with, and that focal point is the gender focal point, is the unit that should be actually giving us all this information that we want. The gentleman that was telling us about the municipalities, yes, we wanted those municipalities. But what I think
we want you to abstract from the those municipalities. If we can get the municipalities that are actually not performing well, like I said, if let's say 21 municipalities in Mpumalanga, they can't all perform well. There'll be one that actually it's like limping. And as the committee, as we're doing oversight, if we say we're going to Mpumalanga, we must really go to that municipality and go and find out, so that when we even talk to the minister or talk to yourself, we will tell you exactly what we want to see changing that particular municipality. So thanks for the information on those municipalities, but can we get, you know, tell us, how are they performing? Thank you, Chair. But on the gender focal point, I want to say, since 1994, even if I wasn't in Parliament, you know, we have been talking about this, the focal point, and as we go upper, these things are being neglected. There will be a legislation from the women's department. If you put these things aside, how are you going to be able to go along with the changes that we need in this department of making sure that women are empowered, and of also making sure that when we say 55% women, 40% youth, it's really been implemented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Before you respond, Babu Dawu, as I indicated earlier on, that some of our members, they were still busy somewhere around in the building. They will join us as the time goes on. So, Baba Dawu, I didn't welcome you. I nearly made a mistake. The platform is yours.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair.
Take this one.
So maybe just a quick one. I think members have raised a lot of issues. I mean, I'm quite impressed with the approach that the department is taking now, particularly with regard to the phase three that the DG spoke to. My only request would be that probably once the concept document has been developed, it would be good that we are taken on board, and just to give us an understanding on how then is the phase three going to be different from one and two, because some of the things that we are that members have been raising are things that have got a history. Insofar as the EPWP, from its conceptual point, level of implementation and all that. So it would be quite interesting. Now that the DG is saying that the document would be ready by the end of this month, it would be good, Chair, that we schedule maybe another meeting for the department to come and brief us probably when we come back from the constituency period. The second issue is that document. I would very much appreciate if by the end of today we do have that document, the one that speaks to municipalities, performance of municipalities, taking into account that we'll be going on constituency, so that in our own areas where we are based, we are then able to take up some of these things. I think those are, those are the two issues that I just wanted to raise. But generally, I'm comfortable.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Honourable Member Dawu. DG, before you respond, I wanted to touch two things. DG, I wanted you to find out whether these programs of EPW, they do include people with disabilities. Because, sometimes, most of the time, when we account we focus on women and children and people with who are unemployed, but we don't say anything about people with disabilities. I recall, I think when it's early this year or last year, when we were visiting during the oversight visit with the Department of Labor, we visited one component of the sheltered employment, to still remember, Mama, whereby there were a lot of people with disabilities. Because I believe also that if there is a program for the people with disability, we mustn't isolate them. We must integrate them with us. Unlike some of these institutions whereby we saw them somewhere, that structure was full of people with disabilities. And also, you look at the condition where they are operating and the place where they are staying, there are crises. They don't even have transport sometimes. But if they are integrated with us, some of these problems are petty, like the issue of transport and the like. Maybe if you can take us there on board, that's what is happening, the status quo. And then lastly, you see, on page 13, that question which I was asking, already with the issue of the systems which are not talking to each other. You see, on page 13, from your own, I mean, meetings, the causes of some of the problems in terms of your targets. For an example, I will mention the only three, not the other two, the other page. This lack of adequate technical capacity in public bodies to design. That's, you know, if you are linked with these people time and again, it's very simple to come and reinforce them. And then you said delays in implementing projects due to administrative delays like procurements. Also, the departments must be there every time to come and assist them. And then also this under-reporting of EPWP work opportunity created by on projects, you know. That suffices exactly correctly the thing which I was raising. That if your system talk to each other, it's very simple to say, hey, there is a green light. Yeah, there is that. Because with the department, we know that we talk about risk management. But this one, I'm talking about issue of linking with them. Not depending on the reports which are going to give to you later, after 3 months or 6 months. Over to you then.
Thank you, Chief. I'm going to ask my colleague to start and then I'll close.
Thank you, Chairperson and DJ. Chairperson, it's true that our EPWP system is not linked to the other public bodies' systems. What we have done now, we had workshops where we are trying to interface our EPWP reporting system with the other systems of the various public bodies, because they say to us it's an administrative burden. We're reporting to Treasury, to other public bodies, and we still have to input additional another set of information on the EPWP system. So what we need to do is the interface of the systems. And the issue of the programs in provinces, we will provide the information of the programs that are implemented in the provinces. And in municipalities, there is a list of the projects that they are going to implement through the incentive. Maybe also just to take the members through the genesis of EPWP. EPWP Public Works was given the mandate to coordinate this program across the four sectors. That is the infrastructure, the social sector, the environment and culture sector. Now we've got the NPO, that is the non-profit organization. So as the Department of Public Works, when we have the incentive, we'll have the incentive across the four sectors. We'll have the incentive for social, for the environment and culture sector, and the infrastructure. But for the NGOs, we provide what we call the wage subsidy. We subsidize those volunteers that were not paid, and then what we also do, we also give them the administrative fee that they can be able to implement the programs. That is why you find that they are these social sector programs. Actually, I'm responsible for three sectors, that is the social, the environmental and cultural sector, and the NGO sector. So that is why you find that we also report on the home community-based care, we report on community safety, we also report even on the Karigude program. It's one of the programs, though it is reported national. So we will provide the list of projects that are implemented in EPWP and the programs and the departments that are participating in the sector. So we'll provide that information. And I think in the absence of the chair, the issue of... The issue of mainstreaming, especially the infrastructure sector, is that the engineers still want to do things the way they were done previously. They do not want to do labor intensively. It takes time, you know, and they have to employ more people, you know, they want to finish the project and be paid and so forth. So we are reorientating them through these workshops and training that we have with them. And the issue of the gender focal point, yes, we have the gender focal point in the department. We provide information to them, but as the chief directors also in the department, what we do, we ensure that our projects are mainstreamed. And the issue of disability, there is a target in terms of reaching 2% of people with disability. As EPWP, we have not done very well in terms of reaching that target. I think we are at about 0.something%. Yeah, we are not doing very well. The only sector that is doing very well in reaching people with disabilities is the NGO sector, because they've got dedicated programs for people with disability. What we did as a department, we ran a workshop last year in the Northern Cape in December, where we called the disability sector and some people do not participate because they do not know that they can participate. Others say are scared that they would lose their social grants and so forth. But basically, they need to augment what they have, you know, through this program. So what we did, we also have a rollout plan to say how are we going to ensure that we run these workshops across all the provinces. And I know that, you know, our memo was en route and has been approved by our DG so that we can engage people with disability to participate. Youth and women, we are doing very well, but people with disability as a program, we are not doing very well. And the community constituency of NEDLAC also sits in the program management team of EPWP. So that is where we are bringing, they are also assisting us to bring, you know, people with disability on board. The cabinet memo of 2004, this is where we are given mandate as public works to be able to coordinate this program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
I just want to add just a few things in terms of infrastructure, especially municipalities. Under the MIG funding, they have a clause that says they can use the 3.5% up to 5% of their allocation to employ these engineers to assist them in the implementation of the MIG budget, of which that doesn't happen. And on the grant, we also have a percentage of 5% that they can use to employ a data capturer that will assist the municipality to capture their own data within that municipality. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Municipalities, they said, no, they have more problems to address in their communities than just employing people, using that money for that employment. I remember in the meeting in Northwest, the chief director, they said, Moratele and Amanskraal, they need to employ those people by August. They do not have about three engineering posts that he is supposed to have as a municipality to be able to implement that 100-something million they have on MIG, of which they won't if they don't address the issue of this capacity. In terms of the systems, MIG has got an MIG MIS. That system was last updated in 2006. We've been talking to COCTA to try and see whether we can link the two systems, because we try and cut down on this reporting burden by municipalities. And unfortunately, that system is still not functioning well. It's only about 35% of municipalities that are using it for reporting. Hence, we have to use our own system, and we employ these data capturers to assist municipalities to capture that data that they report on their infrastructure projects. In terms of the performance of municipalities, we will provide that report, and we show you how, which municipalities are not performing, and we probably want to include the MIG budget so that you can see their performance on infrastructure, because that's the funding they have generally, rural municipalities or small municipalities, than the other sectors. We will show you that budget and whatever happens else in terms of EPWP within those municipalities. Thank you.
Any addition?
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I think it's important that we share with you that we've been listening to Parliament over these past few years about how to make this program better. And phase three will also take into consideration your comments. But because we have also been listening to you, we know now that South African engineers, they need training in labor-intensive methodology. As you would know, they graduate from universities, highly skilled, but they need to be trained to respond to the needs of the developmental state. So that's something that we have identified through our interaction both with Parliament and communities. You would recall that when the EPWP was conceptualized during phase one, there was a need, it was identified that there's a need to have a level, a supervisory level, by nature of the fact that the program is labor intensive. So you would need to also build a core supervisory level. And phase two has tried to respond to that. Also on the responsiveness of provinces, we have signed in the previous years protocols with premiers. Those interactions were spearheaded by the ministers. So all premiers in the nine provinces had actually signed to commit to ensure that they also assist us to monitor the implementation of the program in their respective provinces. The issue of the incentive grant, the 40% pay-up payment, was also to respond to what was lacking then in phase one, the drawdown from the allocation. But I also think that it's fair, your comments are fair to say that we need rigorous monitoring of this spend so that there is no delay in getting further tranches. Which would mean the 60%, which is paid out in two. But the missing link, or the weak link, as my colleague here has referred to, is local government. I think, Chairperson and honorable members, it is important that the local government turnaround strategy is made to work. Otherwise, we shall continue to have these problems with the implementation of the EPWP by municipalities, because if you look at the constitutional provision of the role of municipalities, they are at the coal face of delivery. And Public Works has, as you have heard, come up with this technical support, but will also need the other pillars to support that local government functions optimally to support the program, as they are very, very critical stakeholders. But I also want to share with the committee that we have the HOD forums or technical implementation forum, which are chaired by the DG and all HODs from all public works provinces, or rather departments and provinces, serve there, and they do get the same reports that indicate the performance. And the decisions taken there, they do migrate to MINMEC, as you would know. On the issue of what Honorable Member Jacobs mentioned, which is very critical, about the conceptualization and how this program is packaged, that matter needs to the department has been listening to this issue for quite a while, and Honorable Jacobs is right to say to actually question even the efficacy of the current design. But I also need to share with the members that this matter of the conceptual design is a policy matter, which would have to, at some point, migrate to cabinet if we were to revisit the fundamental pillars of the EPWP, because if you recall, it was endorsed as a program that should be creating work opportunities as opposed to permanent jobs. However, maybe what we need to do going forward is just to show you how we have upscaled this program. Because phase one, the criticism with phase one was the jobs were the length of the engagement was not enough. Phase two tried to do that because there was an instruction from cabinet to upscale. And maybe the trick is on this upscaling and for us to be able to come to you and probably show you which probably sectors we've been able to upscale better than the others, and we continue to improve on that. But the conceptual methodology of the program called EPWP and how it is designed is a matter that the honorable members need to also assist us with, and also is a matter that will be attended to, but it's also a matter that will require cabinet endorsement in terms of that. I just thought that let me make those few points so that at least you know that we've been listening to you over these past few years. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think there are other points that were made with regard to Haman Skral and the comment on SRS. I don't think that any of my colleagues are aware of it. We'll have a look at it and see if there is anything we can do about it, Chair. I think the information we have promised we will provide, and I just wanted to be certain as to whether, because the information that exists are tables that show the allocations to each of the municipalities, and not necessarily the extent of the information that the Honorable Member has requested, which would need a bit of write-up. Extracting from previous reports on the performance, which may not be available to do today. But the tables, the information that already exists about municipalities can be provided. We can print it and provide to the committee so that at least when you do oversight, you can have it. Then the other information we'll provide probably later. If the Honorable Chair and the members agree.
Okay. Honourable members, I think we done justice today, and I don't know whether to have anything, but I think we have, the department tried to respond in a lot of questions. And then once more, I wanted to thank the department, and also in particular the DG. I know that DG, you were summoned yesterday. I'm aware that you were summoned somewhere. Because if you are being summoned by the cabinet or the seniors, you ought to go there. And I was shocked when I see you here because I knew that you have been summoned. And but by saying that, I wanted to appreciate that and you managed to come here. And then we wish a speedy recovery for one of our colleagues who's been in the hospital. No matter all of us, we can't be always there. But may you please convey our messages that we wish him a speedy recovery. He must come back home. We still need him. And then by saying that, thank you very much. And then lastly, as we indicated that we request some of his information, I think for us it is very strategical, because as we are going to constituencies, some of the things might arise there, and then so that we can be able to respond accordingly, not with pieces. Therefore, also members, thank you very much. Members, the meeting, I think, stand adjourned because we don't have the minutes for today.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
appointing him, one of the DTGs.
Thank you.